With over 30 years of combined experience in custom caravan manufacturing, Atlantic Caravan's mission is to create a community of like-minded souls who want to explore Australia in unbeatable comfort. Thanks to the latest technology, outstanding interior design and a high-quality finish, enjoying the great outdoors in an Atlantic Caravan is a five-star experience. If you are looking to explore Australia in class, do not go past their high-quality, innovative, contemporary-built caravans. Check out their Endeavour, New Generation, High Terrain or E-Series models online at www.atlanticcaravans.com.au or call them on 03 9357 6971 or email them at info@atlanticcaravans.com.au.
You're listening to The Lion's Den on FNR Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to the Preston Lions Club show here live on FNR Football Nation Radio with me, Josh Parrish, Chris Terpos, and our special guest in the studio tonight, Sam Mason-Smith, the men's team striker signed this season from Geelong Soccer Club. Sam, let's start with the game on Monday night. You scored the goal that looked like it might be enough, but a bit of late drama, a bit of Luis Suarez-esque effort on the line by Benny Levitikos. Didn't quite get away with it.
Yeah, that's right. No, he didn't get away with it, unfortunately, but it was a good effort. yeah, obviously I come on and got what I thought was going to be the winner. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite to be, but it was an average game from our point of view, but I think we have to take the positives. It was a point away from home against a well-organised Whittlesea side, so yeah, take the positives out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a scrappy game of football. They made it tough for you guys, a lot of physical pressure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, obviously they had a game plan and stuff, and they executed it, you know, they was well up for the game, and we was a bit rattled at first, you know, but I think in the second half we managed to get a foothold in it and played a little bit, and when we took the goal, you know, it's just a matter of seeing it out, which unfortunately we didn't do, but we learned from that.
Did you think the referee was going to pay that penalty?
I don't think the ref knew what he was going to do, to be honest, but
from my point of view, I was behind the goals at the other end of the ground, so yeah. I didn't know what was going on, but the main referee obviously didn't see it. The linesman looked like he was shaking his head, so I think everyone thought he didn't see it. So it would have been interesting to see what their conversation was over on the touchline there.
Yeah, I mean, if the ref's unsure and the linesman's unsure, I'm not sure how they can give a decision if no one really knows the facts, you know. But I think they just sort of assumed and they took a gamble and gave it, you know. Like it was one of them. It was frustrating.
Well, I mean, as we know, it was probably the right decision in the end. Based
on replay review, which the referees don't have access to. Although you would have been forgiven of thinking otherwise when the ref was making a VAR symbol with his hands. I'm not sure what was going on, but it's obviously filtered down the terminology and nomenclature from the VAR. But yeah, it's a gutting way to you know, lose 2 points. But you know, in the scope of this season, I mean, you know, some games we've seen the boys play unbelievable football, and then other times, you know, especially away from home, it's got a little bit scrappy at times. Can you put your finger on, you know, what's going on?
Not exactly, no. But obviously, like, I agree with you. At times, we've played some great stuff, you know, like and away from home, we're always, well, any team that's going to play Preston this year, they target us. You know, they want to get a result, they want to upset our rhythm. You know, we're unbeaten in the league at the end of the day. So if we'd have said that, we spoke about it on Wednesday night training. If you'd have said, you know, unbeaten at this stage of the season with a few wins and two draws, you know, then I think we would have took it, you know. So we build from there. So we just need to keep playing and focusing on ourselves and see where it leads us.
Yep. I think, as we've probably covered this in earlier shows, that Preston's always traditionally been a slow starter in the leagues for the past sort of decade. And, you know, we're off to a bit of a flyer this year, obviously on top, undefeated still. But I think, yeah, you're right, we haven't really hit our straps anywhere near what we want to this year. So I think, yeah, come that round 7, round 8, round 9 mark, I think that's when things are really going to start to happen, yeah.
Yeah, well, I was actually, I didn't know about how bad last year's start was, you know, and obviously from my time at Geelong, and then this year I learnt about that and how they didn't have, a win for several weeks, you know. It was a real struggle, but so it's a completely different situation that we find ourselves in now, you know, top of the ladder and stuff. So we just need to keep focused on ourselves, like I said, and hopefully we'll be there at the end of the season.
Yep. So let's talk a bit about you and your footballing background. I mean, I can hear the accent, obviously, from England, but also spent a lot of time in New Zealand. Tell us where it all began and take us through a little bit of your career so far.
Yeah, so shan't go on too long, but obviously, yeah, grew up in England and, you know, went through academy football there at Cambridge United mostly until I was about 16. Went to a conference side, Histon, and then after that, played local for 6-7 months or so. And then I'd, at 19 years old, I had this opportunity to go over to New Zealand, out of all places. And I had a friend there and also a guy from my hometown who was an ex-pro there in England. And I took him up on the opportunity and I said, yeah, like a change of lifestyle, a new challenge, so on. And I went to New Zealand and I just fell in love with the place, you know, like it's a place that I, although England's home, I went there. And for me, you know, I'd like to be this side of the world compared to England, you know, so I don't really miss home at all. And throughout there, you know, I spent a little time over in South Africa in a season professionally. And then that's, after that, I found myself, you know, back here on Australia. So, yeah, I mean, that's as accurate as I can put it, really.
So what sort of level were you playing at in New Zealand, competition-wise? So
they do things a bit differently there. They sort of got a winter league and a summer league. You play all year round. Okay. Winter's a bit more regional as such. So I lived in Wellington for my most part, and you sort of play there in just the Wellington region. And then when it comes to summer, they only have the one football league, which is the National League, sort of like the premiership of the country.
Yep.
And it's only like 10 teams at the moment. It's slowly starting to add more teams and stuff, you know, like franchises and that sort of stuff. But yeah, and then I played. That's what I've been doing. But literally, apart from the time in South Africa, I've been going winter, summer for numerous years now. And there's not really much of a break. So, yeah, it's been full on football.
Yeah, wow. And, you know, you've played in Australia for which clubs?
Only Geelong last year for the second half of the season, and now Preston. So,
yeah. So, what was it like coming over to State League One football with Geelong? Obviously, you know, in a promotion chase, a lot of high stakes games.
Yeah, definitely. After South Africa, I just wanted to get back to this side of the world. You know, I really enjoy the lifestyle here and stuff. And yeah, it was Geelong was at my time my only option, and I just wanted to be, you know, this side. So I took them up on it, and obviously I learned that they was part of a promotion and so on. And yeah, I was living out there at Geelong and, you know, State League One, you know, there was a mix of, it's like it is now, some good teams and then some, you know, weaker teams and stuff. But I mean, the whole part of being in a title, you know, is just exciting, you know, a title chase, you know, and that game last year, as much as, you know, I'm not going to say anything else on it, but it was an unbelievable game, spectacle to be part of, you know. So hopefully we can, you know, do that in a Preston shirt this year.
Well, we do have to ask you about it, obviously. I mean, you know, I'm sure the fans were giving you pelters at the time, but it was quite the spectacular goal you scored at Genesis Steel Stadium. Take us through that one. And, you know, what was it like in the cauldron that it was with so many thousands of Preston fans turning up to break the home attendance record?
Yeah, it's one of them. As a striker, you just zone out and, you know, the ball comes to you and I had a decent shot, I think, just before, and I thought, if I have a good touch here, I'm just going to have another effort. And, I mean, it flew into that top corner. And to be fair, you know, I just couldn't believe my luck. And it was just a case of staying calm. And, you know, as much as, yeah, like I said, that in terms of goals that I've scored and stuff, it's up there, definitely, you know. And the only thing is, I think there's a few people, I think Louis as well, is expecting me to pull one of them out every week, you know. So, yeah, I sort of set the standards a bit high, really, on that.
Well, what drew you to Preston then? Was it, you know, the atmosphere that day part of your decision to come over?
It was, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I learned a lot about, you know, the history of the club on that day. You know, like the fans and the spectacle, that game was just unbelievable. And if that was, obviously, it's still early stages in the season, but if we managed to get, you know, further in the season and closer to being promoted, then, you know, that's the sort of games you want to be part of. And I learned about the history of the club and where it used to be in the NSL and all those sorts of things. And yeah, just a very professional environment, and it was just something that, you know, I want to play at the highest level I can and take football pretty seriously, and it seemed that Preston at fits that bill.
Is it probably the biggest crowd you've played in front of in Australia and New Zealand the last few years?
Yeah, definitely. Yep. In Australia and New Zealand, yeah. Yeah, only one other time I could think of a bigger crowd, and it wasn't here, that was in Africa, so yep. Yeah, and just, like I said, that atmosphere that day was unbelievable.
Easily the biggest crowd we've had since 2007, I reckon, our last championship year in the Victorian Premier League. So it was an amazing day. And He's hoping we can repeat those sort of crowd attendances later on this season.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we've got a few people coming through on the Facebook Live. Joey Giacomasso is pleading for a shout-out, so there you go.
Yes,
but I'm very keen. Tell us a little bit about the dynamic in the squad. I know you're living at the pad, the bachelor's pad.
It's been labelled the pad, yeah.
Go on. Who are your housemates? Reece,
yes,
Saunders?
Yeah, Reece, Saunders, Dom and Lockie.
Right, so a few big characters in that, a few different characters in that house.
Yeah, well, we're all big apart from Lockie, I got thrown in there, and obviously I didn't know the boys when I first turned up. You know, I played against Reece and Lockie last year, and Dom was new himself, and it's been a couple of months now, and you know, we're all settled. You know, we're all pretty close. We spend a lot of time together. You know, there in the living room, there's a lot of FIFA, there's a lot of banter thrown around, and you know, I don't need to name names who's best and worst. People know who that is.
Lucky.
It's a good laugh. It's good fun.
So is it, I'm envisioning like, you know, uni student digs with dishes piling up left, right and centre. Is it, you know?
Reece. That's all I have to say. Dishes. Reece Saunders.
So, you know, it's a bit of a dorm room vibe.
Yeah, it is, you know, like there's a few strange sleeping patterns and stuff. Yeah, I don't want to go into too much detail, but we all have our times where we keep to ourselves and stuff. And like I said, we all try and take football seriously. Well, we do take football seriously. So, you know, try and lead a lifestyle that helps us do that. And it's been good.
So what is it like coming into the squad now? I mean, obviously, you know, with Louis Yasevsky, there's no superstar treatment. No one really is. Everyone's on a level playing field, and you really have to earn your spot in the team.
Mm. Oh, definitely, yeah. I've learnt that. You know, I've come in late, so I wasn't expecting just to walk in the side. But I had a good season in New Zealand, and I wanted to hit the ground running. But the competition for places at this club is very high. You know, so and it keeps things exciting. It keeps the standards high. So in training, the sessions are very intense. And, obviously I managed to get a couple of starts after waiting, you know, being patient and, hopefully starting the next game, you know, come on and got a goal, but put my name forward to be in the hat. But at the end of the day, you know, if the gaffer says you're on the bench, you're on the bench, you know, you get on with it, you know, you just wait your time, wait your turn and see what you can do when you're on the pitch.
Actually noticed Jacob Fullock scored another two goals in the reserves on Monday night, so he's going to be putting his hand up as well.
There you go. He's banging on the door, you know. He scored another, he scored eight once for the reserves, didn't he?
You
can't do much more than that. But, so that's what I was saying. He's a striker as well. There's a few of us, and we all want to be on that starting, you know, team sheet at the end of the day. So
I've got a little bit of intel here, as I usually do, from Mr. Svetkovsky. He says that you hosted your New Zealand club's TV show at one point.
Yeah.
Well, tell me about that. Which club was it? What was this series?
Can we watch it somewhere?
Is it available online?
Somewhere.
Right, hidden, get that link.
I did. So for my last club in New Zealand, Hawke's Bay United, and sort of similar thing. We was doing a similar sort of thing to this. We had the operations manager and he was going to host a show and we had the players go on. I ended up sitting in the seat that the host was sitting in as I turned up. And I just thought, I'm just going to sit anywhere. And next thing you know, he stitched me up, rolled me under the bus and said, SMS, why don't you host this show? And I'm like, you're joking. And then next thing you know, he said, no, that'd be a good laugh. We'll get good viewings and that. I think we had like 11 or so like viewings. But it was a good laugh and it went on a bit. And to be fair, a lot of people actually did get behind it as good banter and stuff. But I think that's the end of my hosting career.
Well, you say that, but, you know, we have a wonderful platform here at FNR and, you know, so often, you know, it's a strain for DC and Mr. Turpos over here to schlep down to Docklands each and every Thursday.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want to sit in a host's chair at some point, I mean, you're more than welcome to.
All right, make me an offer and I'll see.
All right, our people will talk to your people.
Typical soccer player.
Well, there is something we didn't talk about in the introduction Chris, the transfer window.
Yes, the mid-season NPL registration period has opened up this week or last week.
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember.
I think
exactly
it's this week.
This week, yep. So likely to see a fair bit of movement in the upper leagues in Victoria. Yes,
high-profile former South Melbourne player go to a State League One club that we won't name on this program.
Rightio. I'll have to make myself aware of who that is. So, yeah, obviously a lot of sides will be looking to strengthen their squads. Yep, I know there's already been talk of a few big moves in NPL, with Dandenong City being linked to a few players like Carl Valeri, Brenton Sanderlab, and Adrian Layer, even mentioned in that same breath as well. So
Eugene Galekovic as well has been mooted for them. So they're very ambitious, and that means there will be flow-on effects.
Most definitely. So the key thing for teams in the state league, such as Preston, is that there's likely to be quite a few former NPL players looking for new clubs because they just can't squeeze into an NPL setup with that. With such a short period of the transfer window, so yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Lou's got his eyes on anyone to bring in some reinforcements.
Well, we not any strikers.
Well, we know he does have connections up at those levels.
Certainly does.
Obviously, former coach of Hume City and NPL, and knows everyone in Victorian football. It seems he's got a speed dial. So. Yeah, I would be surprised if there weren't, a few names floated for Preston. Yep. Dandy City, I don't want to be critical, but, signing these 35-year-old blokes when there's a 22-year-old who scored a hat-trick against you in the FFA Cup, I mean...
Yep.
Well, we won't mention that. So, don't want him coming after Arce. But, yeah, could be interesting times. And as you said, you arrived mid-season for Geelong last season and gave them a huge boost in their promotion push. So it could be some new blood coming through the door at Jenna Steele Stadium before long.
I was going to ask you, Sam, what's been the biggest difference in the setup between your experience at Geelong last year and Preston this year? So maybe from the football side, training side, that sort of thing?
Obviously we're in State League One and we're training, a lot quite often, we're training frequently, and I'm sure Geelong now they're in the NPL, NPL 2. They've gone up a notch, I think, maybe professionally. But, for obviously at the same level from my time there and here, I enjoyed my time there, but I'm focused here. And the stuff that goes on here, behind the scenes as well and on the training pitch and everywhere else, it's of a high level, We got a lot of members of staff, and they give us a lot of good advice and they lead us through good sessions. So... the facilities are excellent. The changing room's fantastic. It's second to none, really, especially for State League One, and that's where they're aiming to be. That's where they're aiming to be. Sorry, higher than what they are. So all of that sort of should fit into place, and they can get themselves ready for that next step.
Yep.
Have you ever been in a club where the fans pile into the change rooms after a win? Is that unique?
Never. It's unbelievable. Obviously, you get that. Yeah. You get to share that experience with the fans one-on-one.
It's a pity we couldn't do it at North Sunshine the other week.
Wow. Yeah, we managed to sing the song on the other side.
Well, the fans, it was good enough.
Yeah, that was still a good effort. And it was, the fans are excellent here. So, yeah, keep piling in the changing room. And, it's pretty exciting to be part of.
Well, SMS, I think we'll leave it there, but I'm not going to throw to the break. I mean, you're the TV host.
Josh, before we go, we might just mention this upcoming week's game.
Oh, yes, of course.
So what have we got? We're coming up against Caroline Springs or the old Sunshine George Cross, and they're a team we haven't played in about 10 years, I think. So I think we can expect a good crowd. The Georgies fans were known for coming along to BT Connor Reserve back in the day, so I think we should get a fairly decent crowd there on Sunday, so 3 p.m. kickoff at Jenna Steele Stadium, and the reserves at 12:30. But you obviously only had the one session so far this week with the Monday night game. What was the focus on Wednesday night, sort of leading into the Caroline Springs game from Lou and Kappa?
So we spoke about obviously the game on Monday, reflected on that, and then we had probably more of a recovery session to get ourselves ready for the weekend. Training tomorrow night will be a bigger session, and we'll go through numerous things to get us ready to prepare for the big game on Sunday. So it's good to be back at BT Connor Reserve and back with the home fans, and hopefully we can 3 points in the bag. A home game, that's what the crowd expect, and that's what we expect as players. So we'll prepare as best we can, and we'll be as ready and raring to go as we can possibly be.
Good stuff.
Well, SMS, tell the listeners what they're listening to, and tell us what's coming up after the break then. I'm stitching him up here. John Angelovski is up after the break here on the Lions Den. Thank you very much, SMS, for joining us. Cheers, guys.